Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slobber Knocker Talk with Austin Neely. Today, we're going to go over some scores and some interesting points for the last week's games. Let's start off with the Bills versus Patriots, 24 over 10. The Bills take the game. That was no surprise. Mac Jones is not anywhere near the caliber of Josh Allen. If something would ever happen to Mahomes, Josh Allen's going to be the face of the NFL, as Mahomes has been the last 3 years. Packers versus Bears. This game really came down to whose defense can get the ball more and who can do the big plays, and Justin Fields just cannot keep up to Aaron Rodgers. Again, another game. Either way, the Bears defense is very stout, could have easily shut down Rodgers. Rodgers is just able to make plays that a young Bears defense wouldn't really understand to follow. Steelers versus Falcons. Personally watched this game. It was a good game all the way through. Kenny Pickett looked good. Falcons, let's not go there. Steelers take it 19-16. Pickett is going to be their starting quarterback, definitely. Mason Rudolph and Trubisky. However they want to do that, second or third for Rudolph. I personally want to put him as second. Trubisky as third quarterback. As long as George Pickens can stay chill with his temper and not try to knock out anyone again. Steelers have a good core. Deontay Johnson, least amount drops in the last 2 years from any wide receiver. Expect that offensive core to do a lot better now that Claypool has been gone and not even producing for the Bears. So the Steelers made a good trade there. Jets versus Vikings, another game of quarterbacks who have a point to prove and two defenses that are the same kind of shutdown defense. The Vikings got the upper hand, but it was mostly all defense and running. Again, with the Jets, though, they were able to hold Justin Jefferson to only 45 yards, which is crazy because Jefferson is usually 100-150-yard receiver. Dalvin Cook was only able to get 86 yards on 80 attempts, and Madison was also only 14 yards, but that's where the two touchdowns came from, and the rest came from the kicking unit and defensively. Mike White, though, insane stats, no touchdowns. We'll go over that in a little bit. Do want to focus on that topic today. Jaguars versus Lions, two teams that both had a 4-7 record. Oof. This game was so back and forth between fans. Everyone wanted Lions, Jags, but since both teams had the same record, they're pretty equal offensively and defensively. Lions beat the Jags 40-14. No one was expecting that big of a score, but it happened. Next up is Titans versus Eagles, the NFC Titan, like the NFC head honcho, versus one of AFC's top dogs. Not the top dog, but one of them. Eagles keep their amazing record at 11-1, beating the Titans 35-10. Browns versus Texans. The game Deshaun Watson was allowed to play for the Browns. Man, did he look rusty. Not very good stats. He only had 131 yards. No touchdowns. One interception. Everything was scored defensively by the Browns, which is good. Everyone knows the Browns for their defense. Honestly, Watson's not there. Jacoby Brissett's not there. I feel like the Browns should take a quarterback in the first round of the draft coming up at the end of this year. Commanders versus Giants, two of NFC's teams had the same record, 7-5 and 7-4, just because the Giants got off a bye week. Now they both have a tied game. They tied it at 20-20. Two very balanced teams, but as of right now, the NFC, their division, every single team is en route to the playoffs. Broncos versus Ravens. What happened? That was a terrible, terrible game. Ravens 10, Broncos 9. I don't even want to go there. Everyone can say Lamar Jackson was hurt, Huntley this, and it don't matter. Russell Wilson, straight trash on the Broncos. He could have easily outplayed a backup quarterback against the Ravens and the Ravens defense, but he just can't do the job like he used to. 49ers versus Dolphins. I really thought the Dolphins were going to take this and still be one of the top AFC teams, and they are. They're 8-4. But with the win, the 49ers beat the Dolphins 33-17, but with the win now, the 49ers are in the playoff contention for the NFC at 8-4. And this is a team that started off losing the first couple of games. Most of their four losses actually were in the first, I believe, six games. So for them to come back like they have, that's really good. Seahawks versus Rams. Everyone expected the Seahawks to win, but they barely squeaked it out. Maybe the Rams can have two, three more wins, maybe. But Geno Smith for the Seahawks, he's getting it done. Good replacement for Russell Wilson, Seahawks 27-23. Raiders versus Chargers. This one took me by surprise, honestly. The Raiders versus Chargers game, everyone was rooting for the Chargers. I mean, they're one of AFC's top teams. And the Raiders are, you know, they're just there. They're usually the wild card team. Raiders take it 27-20. Herbert and Carr both look good. Herbert looking better. Just better play from the Raiders. Chiefs versus Bengals. Joe Burrow has beaten Patrick Mahomes three times in 1 year. The week before the playoffs, the playoff game, and now. The only quarterback to beat the same team three times in 1 year. And it's an elite level quarterback. The Bengals take it 27-24. Joe Burrow, he's hungry. He wants to win again. He at least wants to make it to the playoffs. They're 8-4 in that loss, but the Chiefs at 9-3. So the AFC is literally anyone's game. It's going to be good to watch their playoffs and see who gets the wild card, see who is the guaranteed spot. Right now, there's no number one AFC team except for the Bills. They are the shoo-in to take their division. But we'll see. Cowboys versus Colts. 54 Cowboys, 19 Colts. Again, Prescott didn't put up amazing numbers. 170 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. A lot of it was defense. That defense is scary. Very scary. Pollard had 2 rushing touchdowns. Elliott had 1 rushing touchdown. And Davis had 1 rushing touchdown. They're just looking good. Maybe they will be the NFC's top team if anything would happen to the Vikings, but they're definitely number 3 on the NFC. And finally, the most split game in our household was Saints versus Bucks, with everyone taking Saints over the Bucks. And they were wrong. The Bucks won by 1 point. Let's not even go there. 17-16. Some things I do want to touch on this week are Mike White and the Zach Wilson situation in New York. Wilson, the next 2 weeks, isn't even listed as a roster member. I don't know what's going on there, but Mike White is putting up way better numbers, 31 of 57, 369 yards. He did have 2 interceptions, but the Vikings' defense is a ball hawk defense. If they see the ball, they're going for it. Another thing to point out on that game is Wilson. 8 receptions, 162 yards, 20.2 average. This guy's going places. He's not a big name. He's going to be a big name. He's going to continue to be better each year. And I believe getting rid of Wilson and keeping Mike White might be the best bet for the Jets. The Vikings, though, Kirk Cousins, a little shaken up from an injury before. Dalvin Cook looking good with the running. Still, to be able to hold the Vikings' high-power offense to this low of numbers, the Jets are doing something right. There was only 1-2 interceptions by a ball hawk team. So we're going to see how the Vikings go. Maybe the defense can keep giving Cousins the ball, keep giving him the chance to try. Another game I do want to touch base on is the Dolphins versus 49ers. Because even though the Dolphins lost, Tyreek Hill was still able to put up 146 yards with a 16.2 average and 1 touchdown to 9 receptions. Those are good numbers for someone who only had 17 points for the whole team, and he made up for 7 of them. Waddle didn't do good, but both of those receivers are in the top 5 for the receiving yards of the year. Let's go to the 49ers. Garoppolo only had 2 for 4, got shaken up, but Purdy took over, 25 for 37. 210 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Christian McCaffrey, 17 carries, 66 yards, 3.9 average. Christian McCaffrey again was their top receiver too at 8 receptions, 80 yards. Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, they're there, but getting McCaffrey for the 49ers was the best bet they could have done. Next week, if you're going to gamble or bet, take the 49ers in their game for sure. with Christian McCaffrey, I don't think they're going to be stopped anytime soon. Now let's go look at the Bengals, because this game caught me off guard. Jamar Chase was hit 7 times, 97 yards. This is his first game back from an injury, and he's still looking like a top receiver. He had a fractured hip. We all know what happens there sometimes, like Tua Tagovailoa. You can literally be out for 2 whole seasons and still be shooken up as to his shakiness when he runs. Joe Burrow was 25 for 31, 286, 2 touchdowns. Another little fun fact I do want to focus on is the Steelers. Back to the Steelers again. Kenny Pickett had 16 for 28, 197 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 interception. Now, those stats may not be good, but he was consistent, had a good passer rating, completed more than half of his passes. He has a good running back core. They used Najee Harris, Benny Snell Jr., Kenny Pickett, Derek Watt. They've used a whole slew of people to run the ball. And between all that running, there was almost 180 yards. That's crazy. Same thing with the receiving. Not a lot, but Cam Hayward's little brother got a touchdown. Deontay Johnson looks like he's back in his form. Freiermuth, that tight end is crazy. 3 receptions, 76 yards, 25.3 average. The Steelers found a good tight end, and he was slept on. So we're going to see how that goes. The Cowboys, their stats were Dak Prescott, 20 for 30, good completion rating, 170 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Great. Great. You can't really go against a Colts defense without expecting a sack or an interception. Tony Pollard, 12 carries, 91 yards, 7.6 average, 2 touchdowns. Ezekiel Elliott, 17 carries, 77 yards, 4.5 average, 1 touchdown. Davis was 3 carries, 29 yards, 9.7 average, and 1 touchdown. CeeDee Lamb was not big on the receiving numbers, but it's okay. He had 5 receptions, 71 yards, worth 14.2 average. And Mike Gallup, 4 receptions, 23 yards, 5.8 average, but 2 touchdowns. It's good to see that Dak Prescott's still relying on one of his older teammates, which is good. Because without the older teammates, you can't teach the younger teammates. And I firmly believe that. Let's talk about 2 wide receivers that aren't up there in yards, but they're a good combo. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf from the Seahawks. Lockett had 9 receptions, 128 yards, 14.2 average, 1 touchdown. DK Metcalf had 8 receptions, 127 yards, 15.9 average, 1 touchdown. And Noah Fant, who they got from Denver for the trade for Russell Wilson, 4 receptions, 42 yards, 10.5 average, and a touchdown. Between DK Metcalf and Noah Fant, they're 2 big-bodied guys. They're easily one of the better duos for contested catches. And there's no argue about that. They're just a different breed. Metcalf is a monster, if you guys remember his combine numbers. Another person I want to focus on is the Commanders wide receiver, Terry McLaurin. The man has had 8 quarterbacks in his 3 years in the NFL. And he consistently puts up 100 to 150 yard games. Doesn't matter who he is, the quarterback is. He is a workhorse. He does not need to be on the Commanders. He needs to be on a team that can get him the ball more. Maybe if the Bills lose Beasley or the Jets lose Berrios, or, you know, say Cooper Kupp gets injured and the Rams need a wide receiver next year, Terry McLaurin, workhorse, great work ethic. Anyone in the interviews will tell you he is the first one on the field, the last one to leave. He's just incredible, humble dude too. He knows every single quarterback he caught a pass from and says he appreciates the opportunity from all of them. Just a good kid, good head on his shoulders. Another person I do want to focus on is Darius Slayton from the Giants. He's usually riddled with injuries, but this game he stepped up, 6 receptions, 90 yards, 15.0 average, 0 touchdowns. But he's, like I said, for the other teams, he's that experienced receiver you need to teach the next generation with still life left on him. Saquon Barkley, 18 yards, 18 carries, 63 yards, 3.5 average, 1 touchdown. Not the form we're used to seeing from him. This is a guy who had a 225-yard game this year. He is between Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, and I believe Tony Pollard, yeah, they all have already 1,300 rushing yards under their belt for the year, and it's been a constant power battle between those three for the rushing title this year. I believe they're going to give it to Derrick Henry because everyone, you know, praise King Henry, but there's another Alabama tied running back who gets slept on, and that is Josh Jacobs. He's another person from Bama. There's Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, and Josh Jacobs. They all have broken each other's records. First it was Derrick Henry, then Josh Jacobs, then Najee Harris. Back to back to back, those three broke each other's records. Josh Jacobs, 26 carries, 144 yards, 5.5 average, one touchdown. He has 1,237 yards in the season, and that was with him missing two games in the beginning. He's a monster. He's little, but he's a monster. He will bullnose you, but he will leap over you. You never know what he's going to do. He's shifty. He's patient. He's patient, and he's very, very calm to find the hole and get through it. If you do fantasy bets on players, bet on Jacobs. Davante Adams, though, looking good after leaving Rodgers. 8 receptions, 177 yards, 22.1 average, 2 touchdowns. That is crazy numbers. The dude's getting open. He's running deep. But besides the games, let's focus on my top five. For the AFC, I'm going to do Bills. They're 9-3. I am going to put them over the Chiefs just because the Bills need it. They need a win. They need a playoff run that's good, and I believe they can do it. I believe if any team can dethrone the Chiefs in the AFC, it's going to be them. And second is going to be the Chiefs. Obvious reasons, they have the next best record. Then I'm going to do Bengals. Burrow wants to go back to the playoffs. You can see it in his face. You can see that he wants to do it. He's not going to be a good spot like the Dolphins or the Titans, but he's going to get there. Dolphins are also going to go in. No specific order. These are the teams I think are going to be there. Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Tua. Scary, scary combo. The Titans, they're gonna be in a wild card game with the Jets. Those are gonna be your two wild card games. They're gonna hold a winning record up until the playoffs, and then wild card game, they're gonna face each other to see who goes. I do want to say the Ravens, but it's about time for choke season for them. Lamar Jackson's good. Don't take it the wrong way, but if he hurt his knee and Huntley takes over, if he goes against a defense like the Browns or the Steelers or even the Jets, or I don't know their schedule coming up, I just go week by week, but if they face any of the top tier defenses, Huntley ain't gonna do it, especially if Lamar's as bad as they're thinking. Who? And then I'm gonna say Chargers might squeak in. For NFC, obviously the Vikings and Eagles, they have the best record in the NFL. The Eagles are 11-1. The Vikings are 9-3, I believe. Let me check on that. Yes. No, they're 10-2. So, yeah, definitely the Eagles and the Vikings. The Vikings have not had a playoff game in 15 years. So we're going to see where that goes. So those two teams. Also for NFC, Commanders and Giants, as long as they can continue to win. No one knows how the Giants are winning. I'm going to just throw that out there. There's this guy I watch on Facebook. He does these little skits, and the whole NFC East, or I believe it's the East, whatever subdivision is in NFC with the Commanders and Giants, all the teams are jokingly sitting around. They're like, well, we're here because we have a top-tier defense, you know, beat the Eagles, that stuff. Everyone looks at the Giants, they're like, why are you here? And they're like, we don't even know. We just get lucky. So maybe they're going to continue to get lucky. Definitely the 49ers, they definitely snuck up and took that playoff spot. They're going to stay there. And Cowboys, yeah, Cowboys. My personal opinion is I don't want to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl again. I don't want to see the Bucks in the Super Bowl again. I'm tired of Brady. I'm tired of Mahomes. I respect them. Without Brady, there wouldn't be a Mahomes. There wouldn't be a Josh Allen. There wouldn't be a Mike White. There wouldn't be a Mac Jones. Even Jimmy Garoppolo. He played under Brady in New England. So did Jacoby Brissett. So, no disrespect to Brady, but he's paved the way for the newer generation for sure. Mahomes, though, he took that road Brady opened, and he just ran right through it and continued to open the doors for Allen. Everyone wouldn't have noticed Allen's skill except for the one time he went toe-to-toe with Mahomes, and they both had 400 yards in a game, and that was a year ago. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. Brady acknowledged Jackson to be one of the next best, which is ridiculous because Brady usually keeps to himself, doesn't compliment other quarterbacks because he's all about him, clearly why he's divorced. he just doesn't understand the concept of other people in his life. But for him to go out of his way and acknowledge Jackson personally in a game, that was incredible. Dak Prescott, he's part of the in-between generation. Not quite Brady's generation, not quite Mahomes, but he's in there. But Burrow and Mike White and Geno Smith, every young quarterback or just recently starting quarterback, even though they've been in the league before, they've had doors open by Mahomes and Brady, but I still don't want to see either one of those two clowns in the Super Bowl. I'm tired of Kermit the Frog, and I'm tired of Divorcey Boy. Completely tired of them. I would like to see Allen win that Super Bowl he tried so hard for 2 years in a row and got beat by Mahomes. I would love to see the Eagles win again. It's been since 2018. It's due. They're in a state full of nothing but champions. If you go to the other side of the state, Pittsburgh, the whole city between all three of their teams hold a lot of championships. I believe in the top five states, they're in there for the most championships won by all sports contested. So it's kind of sad that Pittsburgh is carrying Philly, and it should be the other way around. Philly has had heck of ball players for 30, 40 years. It's just their coaches are like, hey, what are we supposed to do? Do we tell them to run it? Do we tell them to throw it? Do they know how to shut down an offense? Same thing with their basketball. We're not even going to go there. But Philly's just a joke using their players. And it's just like the Browns. They've had Super Bowl players. A lot of players who've left the Browns went to teams, won Super Bowls, and put up amazing numbers. Just bad coaching. Commanders as well. I don't know what is going on with them, but their quarterback, their coaching, their defensive coordinator situation, they need to just wipe out all the coaching, get rid of the owner, which they've been talking about doing, and just renaming the team and just changing everything about them. They went from Redskins, which was seen as racist, to Commanders. Just let that sink in. I'm not going to point that out. Y'all are adults. Figure it out. You should know that history right there. But other than that, I don't have anything else to say. You can enjoy Take Point 22 with Michael Bejas, and have a good night.